Yeah.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Kevin Miller. This is the What Drives You podcast, where we focus on your drive. Your drive is working in some areas of your life, producing great success, yet in other areas, maybe not so much. Let's get clarity on what you value, what motives are helping and hurting you, and get you fully into alignment so you're driving further and faster and enjoying the ride. To the most beneficial meats. So our bodies drive everything we do, which is why I give that a lot of focus here on the show. And in an effort to get us in the best shape possible, in this episode, we're talking about meat. We not long ago talked about vegetables, the best ones. So this is on meat. Eating meat or not is one issue, but not one we're going to discuss in this. If you do choose to eat meat, are all meats equal? Well, of course, the answer is absolutely not. Again, we're talking about food, the items that we ingest every day that are intended to build and repair and heal and help us flourish. So if the next meal has meat, does it contain the natural ingredients, the beneficial ingredients it was intended to? Ingredients that will give you life and health and wellness, repair your body, build your body well. Or is the meat made up of synthetic hormones, antibiotics, waste products, and an overall soup of refuse and pharmaceuticals? I mean, it matters hugely. Little deposits of junk day in and day out. I think we've gotten into a culture it just doesn't matter that much. You know, it's FDA approved. You can buy it in the store. You can get it at a restaurant. It must be okay. Well, it's not. So the type of meat to a degree matters, but more so, not just the type of meat, meaning like what kind of animal is chicken better or beef or yak meat, which I had recently. It was really good. It's more so the lifestyle of the animal that matters, which in this case, the yak meat I had was from yak that are out in the pasture in Colorado, and it was about as healthy as you could get for meat. So medical doctor and functional medicine expert Randy James and I walk through right now meat to help you understand what will best support your drive.
I'm a foodie and I enjoy learning about the process that brings great foods and beverages from idea to the table. And then I like tasting them and learning the nuances of what creates the most significant tastes, from coffee to cheese to distilled beverages. I did a tequila tasting in Mexico and recently bourbon, Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It really impressed me from the story to the taste. I grew up in Kentucky where horse racing and bourbon are famous, and I got introduced to Heaven Hill Bottled in Bond Bourbon. It's produced by Heaven Hill Distillery, which has been and still remains family owned since 1935. And I'm impressed with the bourbon's ultra-rich, smooth taste. And right on the bottle, it states that this bourbon is 7 years old, which is actually three times longer than what's required to be certified as bottled in bond. I feel with beverages, the longer the prep, the better the taste. Being a bottled in bond product means it must pass a list of 7 requirements that set the standard for this quality bourbon. So look for it at your local store. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely and drink wisely.
So we just left our guys Friday morning group, and our buddy Todd is talking about the show he watched. I don't know about it. Apparently on Netflix, called Alone, where people go off into Antarctica or something, or I don't know what he,
I think he was. Yeah.
Something.
Subarctic Circle, Alaska.
For 100 days.
Alone.
And they've got to, you know, find their own food, of course. And he's talking about that the big deal on there is they're looking for fat to sustain them, thinking can't make it without fat. And shooting a rabbit apparently doesn't have enough fat on it to sustain. And when you're in that harsh of conditions, which of course we're never
right
in that harsh of conditions. But it leads to, so as we're going to go down through our food list here and kind of look at the, you know, and then we're back to better best, but say generally most life-giving foods as opposed to not.
Right.
Carrots and Hot Pockets, my favorite comparisons for some reason. Last time we talked about veggies, let's start with meat and do fats as well. Fats is the current buzzword, kind of.
Kind of. Depends on in what circles you are. You and I always assume that people are thinking the same things that we're thinking.
Okay, true. So in the health and wellness arena, fat is getting more attention than ever. Yeah. So you got people like Mark Hyman, which we talk about all the time, one of the biggest names, personalities in functional medicine. And man, he is on the fat bandwagon. So let's start with meat.
And they often go together because animals have fat. So protein, meat, and fat come together in animal protein in a arguably good way. And so that's why we're talking about it together, meat and fat. And
which is interesting. You guys we're both in our early 50s, and we grew up during the
meat and potatoes.
Yeah, but when they started hitting us with fat.
Fat's bad. Right. So trim your meat.
Which I did as a kid, man. Yeah. I'm sitting there trimming the fat off of whatever we had, roast beef or something like that.
Yeah.
So lean would seem good, which is interesting because Todd is watching this show that I haven't seen yet.
Like, we're going to starve to death on a lean rabbit.
We got to go find the fattiest stuff, which he said was
their big
fish was number one, and then porcupines or something.
Porcupines.
Which we're not eating porcupines. I don't know what.
And then he said big game. So bear, elk. And even those compared to the traditional
1960s,
70s, 80s, where they marbled the meat. They fatted a fattened calf.
Yeah.
Right? The phrase, fatten the calf, fatten the goose, fatten, you know, what did they use to fatten the cow?
I don't know.
Grain.
Oh, grain, yeah.
And it equals marbled beef. And now we're saying, okay, well, wait a minute. You know, if you've got a, what we're now trying to say is, people are trying to make their decisions. Okay, well, I eat meat. And so we're going to just leave the whole vegetarian discussion aside right here. Although we can come back to that because they struggle getting good protein, good fat. But let's just say people are eating meat. And rather than buying a quote unquote lean beef at the grocery store and then cutting the fat off, the transition would be to say, okay, spend a little bit more money buying a smaller amount or eating a smaller amount to buy wild fed, or in the case of a cow, grass fed and grass finished. They don't finish the cow off with carbohydrates and molasses and corn mostly, but they are 100% grass fed. That's what cows eat. And then when you have that cow at your table, don't trim the fat, eat it. Or use that fat to garnish the vegetables or cook it. And remember way back when people would make bacon and all that grease and they'd leave it in there and cook the next thing in that bacon grease? Then it became very unhealthy to do that?
Yeah, my wife, so we get married and she's probably married when she was 23. And she did not like eggs. In her economy, she did not like eggs. So we go to, back then, Shoney's. So we lived in the South. Shoney's, which doesn't even exist. And we go to their breakfast buffet thing, which was a big deal. And she, so no lie, I'm standing next to her. She goes, what's the yellow stuff? Like, eggs? No, seriously, it's eggs. What did they do to them? They cooked them? She had never seen eggs that weren't brown. Because her family, immediate extended family, they would cook the bacon and the meat, the whatever, pull it out.
Crack the
eggs and mix them up. And they were brown. And she didn't like them because she's never really liked meat a whole lot. So she tries yellow eggs for the first time. So that's funny you say that. So looking at the fatty. Well, start off now because you right away start off with grass-fed and whatever. I mean, I'm 50 years old. I never heard that vernacular much until it doesn't feel like that many years ago. So we have the bummer of McDonald's right across the street and people, it's full all the time. They're going through and they're getting their hamburger. So it's got a beef patty. You, Randy James, are going to get your burger at wherever make it, I guess. And you're getting grass fed. So let's start up before we're even going to label which kind of meats, whether it's beef or bison or duck or whatever,
right.
You know, to say, okay, really, is it really matter? So for the average American, going to be the perspective. Does it really matter? Seriously, if over the course of this year, I'm going to have, I don't know how much ground beef somebody would have.
50 pounds
of ground beef. that I'm going to eat from.
You're going to pay $2, $3 more per pound over the course of this.
Okay, well, but start. McDonald's, I'm going to put it at the lowest. Is that fair?
Sure, fast food beef.
White Castle, is it?
I don't know.
Okay, so whatever. So fast food beef to the burger place.
Yeah.
To the ground beef you buy at the store, which as a kid, that's what I grew up. You buy ground beef and make whatever you make out of it. To the, where do you even, natural grocer? Do you get it?
No, we buy a half a cow. Right. So we know a farmer out there that, you know, we know somebody who knows somebody basically, and we found a good source and bought a little mini freezer out in the garage. And once a year we get 100 pounds, a couple hundred pounds of beef. And, you know, it's $400 or $500 that you're spending all at once to a few steaks, a few this, a few that, some ground beef mostly. And you shove it all in that freezer. If your freezer goes bad, that's a disaster. And then we pull it out to make our spaghetti and our whatever else we're going to do with beef on the beef nights. And at the end of the day, this is so important for people out there, because in the immediate moment, no, it doesn't matter, right? Like, if you're, all you're doing is counting the cost to fill your belly and feel full and go back to work and do your thing. No, that one meal doesn't matter. But over the course of time, gosh, I would say it matters a lot. And at the end of the day, when people are asking, okay, I've heard about this, read about, you know, wild caught, fresh, I like to say, eat happy animals. A cow loves to eat grass. They just want to eat grass. Once a year, they have a baby, and then they go back to eating grass, and they find their shade. They're happy.
It's funny you say happy, because we've started saying eat a healthy animal, because there was some funny meme, which I don't know why it just struck me as so funny, that it said, you know, here we are and we have these happy, animals. We're eating them. Well, if they're happy, why don't you let them live? Take the ones that are miserable, the worst shape, and put them out of their misery. Just eat those guys.
Which,
that's pretty good.
Which ones are those?
The slaughterhouse.
Yeah, most miserable cow is the one in the feedlot.
The disgusting ones. And so my vegetarianism, a long time ago, veganism started off with some of this argument of
get rid of that bad animal
fat. Well, of what's in the animals. So in that feedlot, high mass produced, let's go with beef, you've got animals that are being shot full of.
Hormones for sure.
Yeah.
And hormones for sure. And then I think when it comes to the cow, the feedlot environment is they're standing in their own excrement. They're being fed, you know, the whole point is to get them from birth to harvest as fast as possible, get them to market, because the feedlot is there to turn a profit, make some money. And it's not, you could even argue it's morally wrong. It's not a happy animal that's living there.
Well, I've got something on that, but I mean, you're talking about they're being fed stuff.
Nearly force fed.
With junk food.
Yes, that's mostly corn, soy, gluten, and molasses.
So unnatural stuff to their.
But they would not go and eat nature, of their own accord, right?
They're given hormones to bulk them up, so they're.
And to increase hunger.
And increase hunger. They're given antibiotics. Most of the time, all the time?
They have to, or else they're sick.
Have to. So all that stuff. So what is in the ingredients of this meat? But what you said was one that always bothered me for some reason. And I'll admit, I am not an animal lover overall. So I'm not a tree hugger, animal lover, and have the feels for the animal. But I thought, I don't really like that they're treated so poorly. One, I don't want anything to suffer. And then the argument that was made that I realized, because here's my analogy. So when I'm going along the interstate, doesn't matter if I'm speeding or not, but if I see a cop all of a sudden out of the corner of my eye, it's that adrenaline.
Right off the gas.
All the chemicals go through my body and I get so irritated at that. I just got that whole, it's just amazing what your body can do to send that adrenaline and all those chemicals through. So the case is made then that when you have a cow who is murdered.
Electrically prodded through the system, smelling the blood.
Yeah, and there's some places where they used to, at least, they would pull them up by a chain on one leg that would immediately break everything and they would slit their throats. And maybe that was the worst case scenario, but they're saying, imagine what's going through that cow. All the chemicals go in and that's when we end its life. Those chemicals are in its food or in its meat. And I thought,
every hunter knows that.
Yeah.
Remember when we talked to Stefan about that, that do you shoot your elk on the run? And he's like, oh, never. It has to be standing still at peace. Because if you shoot it on the run, if you scare it, exactly that. And then you shoot it, it ruins the meat.
Changes the flavor of the meat.
And the quality and the toughness and all that kind of stuff. Well, if you're harvesting, you know, tens of thousands of these things and chopping them and mixing them all up, maybe or maybe not, there's a, you know, in the grocery store meat flavor category, there may or may not be a change in that kind of a thing. And I would say you probably can't even tell it because it's so marbled with not the right kind of fat.
Yeah.
All of that is going into the decision to pay a dollar or two more for grass-fed, grass-finished bison, elk, cow, in whatever way you can procure these things. And we've already talked about how it's very difficult to do that in inner city somewhere.
Yeah.
And maybe easier for us out in Colorado.
Friends, I'm pretty candid about my lack of financial prowess. Money and numbers are fairly Greek to me, so I need a lot of guidance. One of my closest friends is a wildly successful wealth manager, and I'm working on some financial literacy and just continually seeking guidance. So I ask you to check out yahoofinance.com. Nobody knows it all, and Yahoo Finance is an incredible resource for the rookies like me or the seasoned investors. You know, before my dad passed away recently, Dave Ramsey and his wife Sharon flew down to visit. We all got to spend a day together, and I was at yahoofinance.com just now. I saw multiple news flashes from Dave and other people that you respect, and they're hitting so many of the hottest areas in finance today. So it's a place to get a snapshot of all aspects of your financial interests, and if you have them, your portfolios. I hadn't realized Yahoo Finance is the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. So for your comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. One more time. yahoofinance.com. When we fast, we stop eating food and allow our body to repair. The research on the benefits and the reset is profound. The problem is we like food. We're addicted to food. Me too. Missing a meal or a day of eating is terrifying to a lot of people. So here is ProLawn. It's a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. ProLawn is not a diet, it's science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. ProLawn provides a five-day program where you get snacks and soups and beverages all designed to keep your body in a fasting state while taking away the difficulty and mindset of deprivation. I've fasted for 5 days with nothing but water, and my physical and mental state was incredible. My struggle was just wanting to fulfill my habit of eating. It was significant. ProLawn took that away. It's amazing. I feel like I'm cheating, but getting the benefits of fasting. So right now, ProLawn is offering What Drives You listeners 10% off their five-day nutrition program. So go to ProLawnLife.com/Kevin. That's ProLawnLife.com/Kevin for the special offer. Most of today, you will be indoors, likely your home or your office. I am as well. Even with my treks out into the woods, I spend a lot of time inside. And we're going to think about 20,000 breaths. According to the EPA, the indoor air is 2 to 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, sometimes up to 100 times more polluted. At my studio, we have heat being forced through old ducts. I walk on carpet full of years of junk. No idea what's floating in the air that I'm taking constant gulps of. The solution is an air purifier, and Air Doctor is just the best. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants and allergens such as pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold, bacteria, viruses. They do it so your lungs don't have to.
Air Doctor. It comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Go to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Kevin. And depending on the model, you'll receive up to 39% off or up to $300 off. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. So to get this special offer, go to airdoctorpro.com. Use promo code Kevin. airdoctorpro.com, promo code Kevin.
Well, which is why we're talking, you know, this show is about abundance, vitality. It's about optimal. Optimal is the word. No?
I just don't like that word because...
But that's your goal. I mean, you want to be the most optimal Randy you can be.
I totally agree. I just think optimal got commandeered by vitamin salesmen.
Okay.
Younger, smarter, better, faster, sexier, and you know, lose fat while you're sleeping kind of an idea. And I would say, yes, optimal, but you better darn well earn it. It is not going to be an easy thing. But you've got to make a choice of what to do with your money, your time, your effort. And like you and I, we grumble at the farmer's market because here's an organic tomato or whatever else, but I can go over here to Safeway and pay a dollar less for an organic. Why should I go get, or get, you know, you're not making it. So I buy it at Safeway. Like I'm not.
Yeah, though that one, I do like that analogy though, because with a tomato and often with the fruit, you can literally tell the difference, especially with tomato. Everybody's had a tasteless tomato and then had one that was bursting with flavor.
Agreed. And if the farmer's market gave me that, I'd pay a dollar more. But well, I can't tell the difference between the organic produce over here versus the organic produce there.
That's probably just the bad commentary on our farmer's market and what's maybe. We're also in Colorado.
And we're in Colorado where nothing grows locally.
This is not the South. Yeah. If we had a homegrown Tennessee tomato or whatever. But back that now to meat, and you're not talking about some drastic flavor difference, especially if you're having a burger that's going to have all the condiments and all that kind of stuff anyways. Is it really? So we're talking about whether you care about the long-term effects, as you said a minute ago, of the deposits,
the daily
happy, healthy ingredients or not.
Yeah. I would, in the case of cow, I would say, yes, it is worth it to go grass fed, grass finished and do the best you can.
So is it fair to say,
and not trim the fat.
Okay.
Which our wives, me, I'm getting kind of, you know, I don't want to eat the gristle, but I leave the fat on.
Okay.
And I kind of surreptitiously, if we're crock potting something, I'll sort of chop it up and, so that Marcy doesn't notice.
See, and we're having this discussion, and our family, by far and large, we still don't even eat hardly any meat outside of fish. But is it more fair to say, as we're looking, because we talked about vegetables, and we did literally a list of these vegetables have more, you said, nutrient dense.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts, asparagus, broccoli, cauliflower, as opposed to the lower ones, you know, carrots and potatoes and
peas and corn and carrots.
Yeah, whatever. So we did that. Can you do that with meat so much, or is it more an issue of the quality of whatever meat it is? So
right. I would say that. So rather than saying cow's number one, it versus, you know, chicken, turkey, whatever. Maybe. So there,
there's more fat in, is there more fat in cow than a duck or a chicken or a turkey?
Well, it's very actually, so that is what we need to talk about. It's very difficult to get a chicken that is wild raised.
Oh, okay.
Even with this whole free range idea, you know, a meter or 20 meters or whatever, like there's no such thing as wild chickens that are out there chickening in a sense.
Seems like there would be, because you can get fairly accessible. I think you can, I don't know how prevalent across America, but you can get eggs. I mean, we have people around here you can get your eggs from.
Well, yeah, local people.
They're not selling chickens, huh?
Those are coming from chickens that are bred for eggs. What about chickens bred for meat? Right? Like our friend Paul, who was in the office, and you know, there was no, we're going to harvest that one and this and that. At least less so of the people around here raising chickens. They're doing that for eggs. And so you can find organic, and organic is, remember, this is not about organic, it's beyond organic, because if you buy organic chicken, those chickens are being fed organic chicken feed, which is corn, gluten, soy, right? Got to raise these things fast.
Which is not natural chicken food.
No. So what do chickens eat mostly?
Bugs and
grubs. Yeah, bugs and grubs and worms. And then next down from that will be sort of everything else. The grains that they can pack around. And, you know, they're foragers. And so mostly bugs.
Kind of like the shrimp of birds.
No.
No?
They're not. They don't eat carrion. They don't eat dead things.
Or poop.
They don't eat poop. So your chickens can be in the same place as your cows and all that. They're not going to go eat the poop from the cows like shrimp would. And that's where I hesitated. We'll come back to that. But what about bottom feeders and should we eat that meat? We'll come back to that. Stick with chickens because chickens are hard because you and I grew up when, you know, everybody went low fat and healthy chicken. Like everybody would eat chicken breast without the skin. And now I'm flopping it around and saying, gosh, if you could find a source of really wild raised chickens where they're harvested in a kind of, you know, humane sort of a way, and then you can eat skin on where the fat is, I'd say, okay. But I don't know that I trust organic Costco or Safeway chicken and I'm going to eat that fat. I don't know. If I had a source of where the farmer I knew and said, yeah, I'll buy your chicken. They'd say, yeah, we feed like around here. I had almost invested in that. I don't know if I told you, but our local people and selling eggs, and I'm like, well, what do you feed your chickens? Like even Paul. And if they say, oh, we feed them XYZ bugs, grubs, you know, you have to buy those from someplace else. Nobody can grow their own bugs. I'm like, okay, I'll pay $1 extra for your eggs because that's the kind of eggs I want. What about chicken meat and that kind of thing? I haven't really found a good source. So when we do chicken, we still do kind of the organic Safeway version of, you know, range free and all of that as best we can. Cause I haven't found a source, but I would not do chicken, you know, all that often and almost always we'll do dark meat, better fat content, take the skin. Well, we cook it, I think with the skin on, I can't remember. No, I think the skin's off. And so that's how we do it is once a week or every other week, we'll have chicken night. Honestly, chicken bleeds in there a little bit more because if we do stir fry or some odd kind of something else.
Thankfully, the days of building a business website, then having this massive endeavor to integrate an online store are gone. Today, Shopify has fixed all that. I had one business where we actually built the entire website on Shopify's platform. So whether you're just starting out or you're selling $1 million of product already, Shopify is just the industry leader. It works the same for physical products or online and digital, and Shopify is just hands down the best out there. Most importantly, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. It's 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Getting people to buy is not that hard, at least to the buying point, but getting them to actually give their payment info is, and Shopify is king in that department. They also have top tier customer service, which I think is critical. You can sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Kevin. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/Kevin to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Kevin.
But again, so me being a chicken, I mean, I don't eat much meat. Well, let's say, let's stick outside of fish. If we go over with others, you're not as concerned about what type of meat, whether it's
but how it's raised.
Fowl or...
I would say I would encourage people to do, again, a wide variety.
Just do, okay.
A variety of red meat.
Which we can go to a natural grocery over here and you can get grass-fed beef. You can get bison.
Yeah.
Elk, you can get venison.
Yeah. It's expensive.
Probably have turkey, chicken.
Turkey, chicken. That are going to be, you know, you can say bison, elk, and all those guys are going to be wild caught. Well, now we're back to the bottom feeding idea. You have to separate your pigs from your cows because the pigs will, you know, muscle around through the the dung.
Yeah.
And so historically people have had a, and there's also a religious connotation there, right? Yeah. What's kosher and what's, you know, those kind of things. And I would say, okay, if we cast an eye to, well, what did the shrimp eat? And here, wild caught means, well, it's out there, it's designed for bottom feeding, it is eating poop. And so is it better to eat shrimp that's not wild caught and eating corn and, you know, whatever the heck shrimp eat? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. It sure tastes good.
If we're going to get into fish, it doesn't have as much fat as a sea, as an aquatic thing.
So the difference would, in the lingo, is fish versus seafood. Seafood means clam, shrimp, lobster, crab.
Those are generally thought of as not as healthy, bottom feeder stuff, and probably, I'm just theorizing, not as much fat.
Right.
Not as much fat content. So if we're going to elevate fat, then we're over, and we all think initially of salmon as the fattiest, which to understand it is.
I'm going to leave chickens now and let's go over here to fish and seafood. So there's the distinction. Seafood means those bottom dwelling. And I would look at that and say, gosh, they're expensive and they're a treat. So
I think they are. I don't see even America over consuming them for the most part.
There's a lot of people that'll do regular shrimp, crab, lobster.
Oh.
Like it's there in the grocery store. Like people actually go there and buy those things. For me,
we do as a treat.
Yeah, it's a party shrimp cocktail
once or twice a month at max.
That's what I would encourage people to do.
We'll do shrimp and have it sitting over here for those who want to add it to their stir fry.
Yeah,
that's about all we do actually. But
yeah, and we,
I mean, and popcorn and shrimp the kids would love. That's a this.
It's right. You took you can like take different. Any food and make it. Snacky.
Yeah, that's like the fried donut or something. Yeah.
So if that's a once a month kind of a thing, I think that's a general rule of thumb for the rest of life. And I would also put pork in that category. We don't ever do pork.
Yeah.
So it's when we go out and
which that's you're just blasphemed. I mean, because America is
big
so.
Section
I mean, bacon is like a fan club now for some reason.
And there, so, you know, our patients, they have the little farm over here. They raise their own hogs and people go out and Stefan, they go hunt wild hogs. And I say, okay. You know, those, you know, the quality of that meat and what they're doing and that kind of thing. If you can find a farmer who's going to say, hey, we know exactly what these guys are eating. It's good stuff. And back in the day, every family had a hog, and that's you fed the leftover lettuce and whatever. And okay, you know, generally speaking, that's going to be. But physiologically, a number of years ago, I was looking at this in down the biblical tradition of why was there even the thought of don't
pigs eat, are unclean?
Pigs are unclean. Yeah, why
not kosher?
And so when a pig eats, and they don't have great discretion, they eat almost anything. They're garbage disposals. So if they're eating the dung of another animal, then that's kind of a problem. It's not going to hurt the pig all that much, but are you going to go and eat that? And compared to a cow, a clean animal, so the pig will eat XYZ stuff, and in about 24 to 25 hours, that stuff is on its back as meat. A cow chews its cud. That's a reprocessing, purification process. How many stomachs does a cow have?
Four
stomachs that it's going to here and there and here and there. So it's, I think it's 4 days. So you've got 24 hours versus 4 days before the grass has been proteinified through the cow and processed over here. So that's a theory. And these days, you know, hog farms have to have much more stringent governmental oversight. Otherwise, you're going to pass disease along, right? So that. And you can take a fish out of the ocean and eat the thing raw. You imagine that with a cow,
pig? Which we actually like.
And we pay people to cut that up for us and call it sushi.
Not cook it. And then to not cook it, they charge you more.
Yeah. Well, the also
higher grade.
The higher grade of that fish, right? You can't farm fish and do that.
Okay. Really?
No. That's what sushi grade means. Is this?
No, I know that, but I just wonder why.
I think it would be unhealthy.
Oh.
And now we got these frankenfish where you're putting hormones in there and the farm fee. Can you imagine eating a raw pig? No. It's just like that. Like
maybe in that alone show.
Maybe those guys to not die.
Yeah.
But okay. So back to fish then. You've got seafood, which are the bottom dwellers. So there's a layer of caution there maybe. And that's where I'd say, gosh, they taste good. And is this real clean, unclean, all those kind of things that maybe not might to the modern mindset might not be as accurate as we thought. I don't know. We do it about once a month. But then on the fish side, okay, which are the healthiest fish? You mentioned salmon, tuna, people think of most often.
Can I hit on farm raised? Because you talked about that, which still seems fairly new to me that you should just go buy salmon. Now I got to pay attention to, is it farm raised? Is it wild caught? And the term that I heard, kind of like the perspective of sitting is the new smoking, you know, is saying farm raised salmon is just as bad as junk beef that we're talking about.
Yeah, I'd put it like that. It's not as bad as a Snickers bar, maybe, but
okay, but that bad.
It's a feedlot beef.
Okay.
So they're swimming in a closed environment. They're being fed not their natural diet. They are now hormones are getting in there to increase the growth rate. And then when you buy that meat, famously, what do they have to do to it in the store?
Color it.
Color it to make it look like. Otherwise, you would have white meat salmon.
Which I've salmon fished. I did a salmon run up in Northern California years ago. And the salmon come upstream to spawn and then die. Well, how do they die? They don't eat. They starve themselves to death. And you'd find these salmon that were half dead, still alive, but half dead, and pull them out. They stink. They already smell
they're
like
already
rotting fish.
Yeah.
They're white like that, as opposed to the pink, luminous.
Vital.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that pinkness is a biochemistry. It is a chemical, and it is good for you. And that so... It is worth the extra time, money, effort to buy, to find the wild-caught, sourced
which is sometimes, talk about the food deserts again, sometimes is hard to
find.
It
is very hard. And we've got online stuff these days for frozen foods. So fish is in that category.
There is that. But I do want to say, I have seen some brands or you know companies that offer, they say wild-caught salmon, and because I was privileged enough to go fish for it, something's still wrong with it. It is still the color's off.
I would
the
agree.
Taste is crap.
Like star-kissed, you know what
know
they call
they
wild caught. I don't even. I think it's that word wild caught is similar to the word natural.
Like, did they go out and catch a little bitty one wild and then farm raise it? Or I don't know, and I haven't researched it obviously.
And that's where in the world of fish, I'd be careful. Like, what are the brands?
It seems
that
it's not
you
apples
trust.
To apples.
It's not apples to apples. You got to kind of think about it. The one that I can think of right now that I would go online and take a look at is vitalchoice.com. Uh-huh. And we've got a local guy. I don't know if you know that, but you know, in the winter or summer, whatever the season is for salmon up in Alaska. So he goes up there and fishes for two
months.
Comes
with a truck, you mean?
Freezes the stuff and then hauls it back down.
Yeah.
Sells it very expensively.
Very expensive. It's 14 plus a pound.
It's and so there again, do you buy and freeze? And what our family does is we tend to do more often smoked. So that's an easier, you know, preservation, transportation, and all of that.
But that one's also, if you go looked at the smoked salmon,
you got to be very careful.
Most of it's farm raised.
Most of it is farm raised. So we pay a pretty good chunk for our salmon night, that is smoked salmon that we mix with a stir fry process. But what are we doing? So fish, the distinction there is salmon and tuna. Why? What do most people, if you say, hey, do you like fish? What will most Americans choose? What brand or what names of fish? What are the favorite
brand
ones?
Names or just
no, the favorite types of fish?
Oh yeah. Tuna and no.
What are the white fishes?
Oh, tilapia.
Yeah, tilapia, orange ruffy, cod.
I mean, here locally, I'm not aware that you can get tilapia that's wild caught. It's all farm raised. We don't
most of it is farm raised.
We don't eat it at we eat it at none.
Okay.
At this point.
Why do people like the taste of those fish better?
Less fishy.
That's right.
Which it's is a less goofy fishy. Term.
Yeah, but well, but I get why it. Do people not like anchovies and sardines?
It's fishy.
What?
They don't even like, people don't like the smell. I mean,
that's right. What is? I don't know if it's the smell, but what is the fishiness that you're actually talking about? What's the chemical?
That oil and fat.
It's the oil and fat. Okay. So if the whole point here is to get really awesome protein and fat,
get the stinkiest fish.
Right. Fishiest fish is better for you. And I grew up with my mom saying, "I don't like fish. It's too fishy." Huh. But she'll tolerate Long John Silver's.
They fried all the fishy out of it.
They fried the fishy out of whitefish or catfish in the South.
Gosh, that's that fake crab meat stuff that they sell at the thing. And if you look on the back of it, it's mostly carbs because it's made out of cornstarch.
And the fish is always caught, whitefish.
Yeah, it's not anything remote to.
So the point of that, and one other thing, the fishier fish, are they big or small?
Little.
Yeah.
Well, okay. But that doesn't relate to salmon. Salmon, you can get bigger.
Well, what do they eat?
Little fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so the salmon and tuna. Okay. But what are the dangers of the big fish?
Mercury.
Yeah. So the mercury concentrates.
I feel like I'm on a quiz here, but I'm doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good. And I'm hoping that people will get into, okay, because at the end of the day, we're going to say, eat these fish. Why? Well, salmon and tuna, here's the bottom line is, those are really good sources of really good protein and fat, but you've got to be cautious about the mercury.
And you really do.
And you really do. Now, is one, like you and I, once per whatever, will go eat raw tuna. Mm-hmm. But I've had a patient who was getting on a diet, and he's like, I eat canned tuna every day for lunch. And his mercury, and we went and measured it, and it was just off the charts.
Oh, wow.
And he wasn't dying, but he was not quite right. And so is that going to happen to everybody all the time? No, because it depends a lot on your own genetically determined detoxification processes in your liver and those kind of things. But why? Same is true for smoking. Does smoking give everybody cancer? No. So, but why subject yourself to that? Does it mean you can never have salmon and tuna?
Yeah, really?
Salmon and tuna. So what our family does is say, okay, salmon and tuna, no more than one helping each per week.
Yeah.
All right. So I will, depending on the flavor of the week or whatever, go sushi and have tuna avocado things, and we'll have a salmon night at home, and those are the two helpings. But, and here we are into a keto emphasis time period, and I had an avocado and sardines last week, and for sardines, anchovies, mackerel, and herring, I'd say knock yourself out every day.
Which, unfortunately, like you said, those are...
They're fishy fish.
Very unpopular.
And they're unpopular, and even you only can get them canned.
I have no idea how to get them otherwise.
It would be a chore, right? Because we don't do that.
You can get those, wild caught, but we do. There's a section even up here in our little town, and I do get those a lot. Thank goodness most of my kids are pretty good with doing that, and it's a quick go-to. So, as you know, my kids end up here at the office a lot, and I've got them up in the cabinet, literally sardines. Herring. I think they like herring better. Sometimes you can find other little canned. I don't know if it's just local here, but trout, you can find that in there sometimes as well, which doesn't equate to the oil fattiness.
I would bet you anything those trout were farmed. If you dig down in there,
are they say wild trout? I don't know. My wife got
them. Because trout's a hard one.
Yeah.
Because trout do not do well in captivity. It's just a hard one.
And they're pretty small and not this plentiful. Okay, but anyways, back to sardines, herring. What was the other one you said?
Anchovy.
Is mackerel? Where's
mackerel?
Mackerel.
Yeah. These are all the small, kind of 6 inches or less fish. They have less accumulation of the mercury. They're eating different things.
So back to our last episode with vegetables, the consummate vegetables kids don't like. Brussels sprouts and asparagus, man.
Yep.
Those are top two, which you and I love those. My kids pretty great on those for the most part. I got a couple that aren't big on asparagus. So we'll say the same thing. So the healthiest, unfortunately, are the ones that kids are least going to go towards.
Well, most adults will go towards.
That's true. Sardines, herring, mackerel, anchovy. I never do anchovies. It's like the joke with pizza. Apparently, people do
anchovy pizza over in Europe. We had fish
are those
pizza.
Just in the same canned spot? They probably do, and I just never make eye contact with them.
People are looking for, like you say, okay, what's the pillar? And I would say, okay, eat all of those you want, but rotate them. don't eat sardines every day, but you know, sardines and then mackerel. And
like your tuna person. I mean, because I've known that even with bodybuilders and well, that's, I'm going to eat a can of tuna and lettuce every day for lunch and I'm going to cut weight and build muscle and whatever. You would say rotate it.
Yeah. To the bodybuilder, I'd say, well, have an avocado. Right. I just, you know.
Right. But on the fish, you could do, I mean, think about that. You could do salmon one day, tuna, mackerel, herring, sardines, anchovies. That's 6 days.
That's 6 days. And then have an enjoyable one day of cod, right? Like it's, but if you say, I only eat whitefish, I only eat orange roughy, then you're going to be not having a good fat signature.
No different than the veggies when I, you know,
if
I
you only eat broccoli.
Broccoli, exactly. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Big fish, got to be, you know, go with cold water fish, salmon tuna. And then, and you and I,
we didn't talk about that. So you're saying, so cold water, so not bass.
Cold perch. Is why they develop the fat layer. Oh. So they don't freeze to death. So just like walrus and a whale and whatever, the cold, so are you orange roughy and mahi-mahi, all that comes from equatorial waters.
Huh. So where are you going to put that? Now, I don't know. We don't live in an area where they have fish like this, but if there's somebody, I assume there are places where people eat, well, gosh, catfish.
Yeah.
Talk about a bottom feeder.
I hated
those since I was a kid because they're so hard to clean. But who cleans catfish these days? You just eat it. But I was always, that was kind of like the pig, the.
Yeah.
The
and I'd say, okay, shrimp. Have a catfish fry once a year with your okay. family.
So
from
we
the
just
south.
Dissed all the catfish lovers.
Sorry.
But are going to do the same thing with bass, perch, crappie. I'm trying to go back to my southern roots. Whatever those
I don't even are. Know. Yeah, for the guys that are fish, they're wild caught.
If it's wild, I mean, yeah, if it's coming out of the whatever. It's
I'm going to trust nature
better than McDonald's.
Way. Yes.
Okay.
Don't have too much. No, nobody is eating bass all that often.
There's one guy out there, God bless you, but for the most part, yes, there's not.
Right.
That
most of us are still buying our fish from the grocery store, and that's why even if you're in Florida.
Up here, I don't think we have it at most of ours. Have any of those fish?
No. Maybe, like you said, some way to get trout.
But okay, but back to, you were just about to hit and I interrupted. I mean, talking about big fish, obviously there are the mahi-mahi, you can get swordfish, you can get shark, you can get...
Swordfish is probably the worst in terms of mercury. Oh. Swordfish, marlin, shark. I would just stay away from them. There's no reason for those these days to be on the commercial eating side.
You said orange roughy. That's fairly popular.
Red snapper.
Gosh, I was just down in Florida and grouper.
Grouper. Okay.
That fine? Yeah.
Yeah, wild caught, those kind of things. These days, I still don't trust the fresh catch of the day restaurants because it's still most likely cheaper for them to logistically buy it from Kroger food production system and that gets it from wherever in the world they get it and mostly farmed. Huh. So you just got to spend a little bit of time and effort to know the restaurateur and say, like we knew the guy that owned our fancy restaurant up here and say, hey, Neil, where do you get your salmon?
Right.
And he's, we pay attention, but it's farmed.
I do want to say, man, on salmon, it is like I had a friend go to Guatemala or wherever they do a lot of bananas, and he said, holy smokes, it's nothing like our bananas here. And I experienced that with salmon, one, when I fished with it. That was a long time ago. But then probably 5-8 years ago, something like that, I had some clients who had two salmon boats up in Alaska, and they FedEx me. So they catch the salmon, bring it on the boat, flash freeze it within 20 minutes, FedEx it, 2-day air. I've got it next. So we had it for an event. It's like a different species. It was like butter. And when there was a time when our sushi folks were letting me buy some stuff from the same thing.
Yeah.
Unbelievably different. So that one, you can absolutely feel the taste. But if we take that and equate that to, if you can feel the taste the difference that much, what is the difference in the ingredients, the quality, that's adding to my health, just like a nutrient-dense vegetable we talked about last time. We're talking about the most nutritionally beneficial meats, and you're saying whatever it is. Now, we did relegate some of them, like pork and shrimp and catfish and whatever, to say those actually are a little lesser beneficial, probably, regardless of the quality of it. But then on the other ones, we're saying it's not so important whether it's duck, bison, cow, chicken, turkey, whatever, but how has the life of that animal been?
Are they happy?
Happy, healthy.
Right.
Yeah.
That what does a fish want to do? And they want to swim out in the ocean and eat what they eat and do what they do. And that's when you want to catch them.
So if we're back to our root issue here of the building blocks of your life, of your body, of your mind, of the cells in yourself, yeah. your brain, do you want to feed it a store-bought, the Big Mac, or do
it'll
you
fill
want
you up. It'll
a higher quality, healthy, happy building block?
Yep. One area on there that is a little bit different that you guys do as vegetarian family mostly is eggs. And that's where I would make a distinction and say, okay, because even in most grocery stores, you've got these $5 a dozen, picture of a red farmhouse with green grass with a family with two little kids, a boy and a girl.
So hard to trust.
The marketing of that. And then right next to the clearly industrial gray packaging, only white eggs, 99 cents a dozen.
And my understanding from you and other stuff is that you can have the cage-free, range-fed, whatever, if you allow that to happen for, I'm going to exaggerate, 30 seconds a day. Let that right. happen.
What do they mean by free?
Yeah.
And in fact, gosh, it was National Geographic or one of those big magazines did an expose on this whole idea of range free. And now the word range free is a marketing term. And does it mean that there's a door that the chickens can go out if they want to? Does it mean they're forced out that door? They get 1 meter per chicken or 20 meters per chicken. And so, again, the industry is going to do what it does. It's going to provide product that we buy. And in contrast to the previous 5,000 years of human history, there's multiple layers between me and the chicken, me and the farmer. And what do we trust about what we're reading? And so today we want to tell people, okay, just be slightly educated. Think about it a little bit. Understand that range-free means multiple things to multiple people, just like wild-caught, grass-fed, grass-finished, all of those kind of things, until the government comes along and says, if you say the word organic, you have to mean these things. And if you lie and cheat, we're going to shut you down.
And they're coming up with new terminologies and NGO labels and yada, yada. And
both. Because there's you and I who want to buy that stuff, but they want to sell the stuff.
Yeah.
And to go organic, the price hike is, so some farmer's making a decision, do I convert my land, my cow to organic? And that's an investment on his part to make to a return later on that you and I are willing to pay for. Okay, well, with eggs, it's a whole nother, because in the South, you've seen those chicken houses. Have you ever been in one?
Yeah, it's horrific.
It's horrific.
It's like the slaughterhouses.
These are barely animals.
It's
right, barely living things, and it's sad, and it's frustrating, and it's all that, and
it's disgust. It's just disgusting. It just goes. It's like a feedlot. Just go smell it and go really?
Smell it and say, "I'm going to eat that."
Yeah.
Not to mention, you go buy a chicken breast, and they're like triple D size, right?
Yeah.
If chickens were going to be there, they're not.
They should just call it a boob. It's
normal.
Full, yeah.
It's. Even in our own lifetimes, we can see the difference in size. You can buy two chicken breasts that is, 2 pounds of meat or whatever. And I just, this last week, I was telling Marcy, compared to a thigh, it's dry, it's stringy, it's different, it's whatever. So back to the egg then, I feel like if you crack open those yolks, you can tell the difference between these kinds of eggs versus the 90-cent one.
Hugely, yeah.
And
somebody ought to do that. You should try to find, even if you can do it one time.
Do one time. Buy the $6 eggs.
Well, or if you can find somebody locally, and you may be able to look at Craigslist or go to your local farmer's market and find somebody. We have those, but again, I don't know that it's obviously not the same if you're in downtown LA. But we've got friends who have chicken coops, and they buy chickens and they raise them and go, yeah, we got more eggs than we can handle. You want to buy one? And we buy them for, it's usually not that ridiculous.
No,
$4
For the people mostly sit like Paul, he would have 6 dozen in his fridge, and he's like, I got to do something with these. You want to buy them for $4 or $5.
But do that and look at the difference, and you can taste the difference. And while we're talking about this, can we go ahead and lump? Because we're ultimately talking about It's the product of a chicken. What is this life of a chicken? Is it a happy, healthy chicken? That's going to be your egg.
Yep.
Because the other thing, the byproduct is dairy, is another one. Pretty much same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, we didn't have dairy on the list.
I didn't. I know. You, I thought about it.
Yeah, eggs is not dairy, so we do need to make that clear.
An animal byproduct that we eat as along with the meat.
Yeah, animal byproduct, protein. You know, something from an animal. We do need to put dairy in there. And there again,
grass fed,
grass finished. Happy, not but in you're a feedlot.
Not going to find at most grocery
you,
stores.
You have to. Yeah, now we're saying probably go to the health food store because the on the dairy for them to make money, they have to use hormones. So, what's the average amount of milk production per day per cow, a dairy cow, these days in a dairy non happy cow? Is about 25 gallons. 20 gallons, right? You're pumping hormones in to have this cow produce this much gallons of milk. But what about 1850? Your dad grew up in 1850, but 50 years ago.
1950, okay. On a dairy farm.
How much, what do you think was the average amount of, in season, this cow is now producing?
I don't know.
About 4.
Okay.
About 4 gallons is my understanding. I mean, I've never been on a dairy farm. So look at the difference, 5 times as much, and you wear these cows out, right? Biochemically wear them out. I'm sure the cow's not happy and healthy. You've got to use antibiotics all the time.
I've been on dairy farms even in the, that's been a decade or more ago, but it's by far, for the high production, it is not a happy place.
Just like the chickens, just like the cows in a feedlot. And you and I, I do feel like if that's the only way to eat meat, then I would want to go vegetarian too, because there's a moral suffering. It's just not natural to do that to an animal.
And that's what I, it was back in, 30 years ago, 1990, that I read John Robbins. He's the Robbins from Baskin Robbins, a son. And he went into the industry and looked at it and gave all these reasons to not eat meat. So he was total vegan. That's why we did that at that point. Now, again, I'm not a huge animal lover, but to look at, the environment, the health, the whatever, there's a lot of reasons not to eat meat. Now, lately, back to Dr. Mark Hyman, he's been talking about if you have sustainably raised animals, it actually is good for the planet. Now, I haven't researched it, so I'm not going to sit here and make a case.
Oh, I have.
Okay.
I would say one step further there, and his book was The Food Fix.
Okay.
Okay. And if you, there is a way. Like a lot of people will say, we can't feed the planet with animals. So it's debatable, right? But if you do raise animals in a sustainably good kind of a way, then it is good for the earth. You grow the soil. The animals aren't bad for it. It's not, like in Colorado, there's a lot of places you can't grow stuff. Yeah. But you can grow goats on that kind of a land.
Is that the book Food Fix? If somebody wants to read more into that, because I haven't done that and we don't eat a whole lot of meat anyways, because my first thought is, if I want the best meat, I got to go get a cow and a chicken. I'm not going to do that. So read his book maybe if you want to figure out how to
think thoughtfully down the pathway of not just, what's good for your body in terms of protein and fat, but what's good for the earth. What's good for the animal itself?
Yeah.
All of those kind of things. So what if we wound up on dairy? That's a big one, but it kind of goes into, is it a good source of protein, fat, sugar?
Well, because it's good. For me, it's good because we don't do much meat. We do fish, but lately, for some reason, we haven't even been doing a whole lot of that. We don't do much eggs at all because a couple family members who don't do well on them. And the other just kind of got out of the habit. We don't do a lot of dairy, but of meat, of animal products, it is the most. And then if you're going to buy that, it's expensive. You got to look at it as a treat condiment, not as a
probably
big protein source.
Animal ought to be anyway, even in the paleo
dairy, cheese, butter,
yogurt,
right.
And
ice cream. Now that's holy. We're not going to talk about ice cream.
Not this.
Well, actually, you know what? We will when we get to sugar. We'll talk about ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay. But we're still talking byproducts, and if we want to be simplistic, look at the animal that it came from.
Yeah, go dairy and well, but we can like give that, people pillars. If you're going to do yogurt, I would look for grass-fed, grass-finished.
Which you well, I can find at a natural grocery.
At the health food store. I can't find that at the regular store.
Yeah, at least not. Okay,
we're no always, added sugar,
which is very difficult.
Also difficult. So Dan and Yoplait, Greek yogurt, and all those kind of things. Almost always
pisses me off because it's thought of as a health food. And yet most of it, I look at, is 15% or 15 grams or more per serving. And I mean, it's like ice cream.
Nearly. Because even the yogurt without the added, without added sugar has lactose, still has quite a bit.
I think like four to 6 grams or something.
Depending on your serving size. Yeah. Okay. Just straight up, no added sugar yogurt, whatever. And I had some goat yogurt the other day. And, you know, I've been doing this ketosis thing, and I think it knocked me out. I mean, it was pretty good helping. But just the normal lactose that's in there is sugar. And it's a great food source because you get a good sugar source, fat source, protein source. But I would say grass-fed, grass-finished, and it should be a treat, not so many people do yogurt every day.
Let me push this out there because we're talking about animal products. I mean, this whole show is assuming if you're going to do animal products, here we're talking about them. That when you look at the meats, we talked about that, but we don't generally have allergies and tolerances.
Yeah, we haven't talked about that. Yeah,
but we do tend to with the byproducts. A lot of people have problems, intolerances, allergies, whatever, with eggs, with dairy. Well, that covers it all. Eggs and dairy. So that you got to watch out for that. Even if it's because you'll see health and wellness advocates touting good eggs, good, as you just said, good yogurt can be a good source if, and then you've got to judge your own propensity for an intolerance, which I have family members who have had severe. You treated one of my infants who is wildly allergic to dairy through breast milk.
And that, right, that's an X factor, that it's more common these days.
It is, but you haven't had somebody, like you said, you're allergic to broccoli? You haven't heard that.
Hardly ever,
right. You ever had anybody who's allergic to beef?
Yes. Really? So probably more common than you alluded to right there is animal, you know, well, shellfish, that's a famous one, right?
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
So that would be your shrimp, lobster.
You ever seen Hitch?
Yeah.
Will Smith?
Exactly that.
Okay.
And okay, so with that awareness, thinking down the dairy pathway, if you're doing yogurt, grass-fed, grass-finished, and then down the cheese pathway, I would say aged and hard and stinky are going to be your better, you know, most of us like mozzarella and brie and, you know, mild cheddar and those kind of things.
I was thinking about that when we're talking about stinky fish being better. I was thinking cheese. Yeah, some of the stinky. I love
meaning fermented. Right?
I love more stinky cheese, man.
Okay, so why are we saying this again? What is it about hard, aged, and stinky? What's going on? It's the fermentation process. Yeah. So the lactose is being consumed by the yeast.
Okay.
Within the cheese, it's a processing, purification. And if people, like even allergy sensitive kind of people, will have less sensitivities to, you know, more fermenty yogurt, more fermenty cheese. And I would say take advantage of that for most of us and just say, okay, rather than American cheese.
So,
which is not even. So we
put Velveeta down with
Velveeta the, and cheese whiz.
Cockroaches.
That's right. That's like. The shrimp and cockroaches and those kind of thing in the area of cheese.
Makes great queso. Well, it makes nasty good queso, probably not.
Yeah. If taste is your only barometer, this is not the show for you.
I had a case of liquid love, as our buddy Scott used to talk about. Liquid love. It is good. It's disgustingly good.
And okay, so, and that's where, for me as a dairy sensitive person and having two helpings a week of XYZ, I'm going to say, okay, I don't want to mess, and I don't like American cheese anymore. I want sharp, hard, and stinky. And, you know, to have it be the garnish on the XYZ food. And just yesterday we had something that was really a treat. Oh, we've got a cheese guy at the farmer's market, right? So he'll put mustard in there or something. And this one was blueberry.
Yeah, not much into the fruit in my juice. No, I get it, though.
It's hardly pretty, ever, cool. Right? It's like, that was an interesting combination.
He gave us some coffee-flavored. I just didn't work for...
My favorite was the mustard. It's like, those mustard two
combos. Mustard is good. He's got smoky stuff, but yeah.
Black pepper in there.
Yeah.
All right, so those kind of cheeses, dairy, so cheese, yogurt. I just wouldn't drink milk. There's... just not much of a call for that.
Can we just, butter is the same as cheese?
Yeah, butter is the same as cheese. So yeah. Grass-fed, grass-finished butter.
Yeah.
And then use it as a delicacy like this.
But milk, man, that's, again, American blasphemy at its height there. And people still are under that. We grew up with. Sponsored by the American Dairy Society, milk does a body good. From my history and research, I feel like it absolutely does not.
Well, no. I think if we went back to 1850 and you had the cow in the backyard and you went out there and, you know, milked it and drank it.
Okay.
So, but these days, you won't remember this, but we bought a cow share and had some raw milk for a while. At the end of the day, if you do raw milk, if it's not your cow, $8-$10 a gallon, right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
Way up there.
And I grew up as a kid and we'd go see grandma and grandpa and have...
fresh,
raw milk, and it was like a milkshake. It was so different.
And that, if you're not sensitive, I'd say, okay.
Well, and if you are sensitive, I bet you'd be less sensitive to that.
Less sensitive to that.
Yeah.
And it tastes dramatically different.
Sweet, and yeah.
Right? I didn't like it. It made me feel like it was earthy. Probably like what people would say is gamey meat. It was gamey milk.
So again, I'm not totally researched on this, but when I look at... the person with the store-bought cheap milk, whatever it is, what do they have? 2% and skim, and I don't even know the variations.
I have no idea.
And see somebody drink a whole glass of that instead of, maybe this is not fair, but instead of me feeling like it does a body good, I'm thinking it's like drinking a glass of Coke. I mean, it tastes good. Is it really helping, and is it possibly detrimental?
Well, again, if you're coming out of the desert, you're going to starve to death. It'll keep you alive.
Well, but you can say that about a Hot Pocket.
That's right. So is it detrimental? And I would say probably the propensity of a detrimental.
Is it life-giving? That's back to our thing. Better, best, whatever. Is it?
Yeah. I would put it on the rarely do that.
Yeah.
Like a Hot Pocket.
Because you're talking, I don't know if there's many people listening to this show that are this way, but we still live in America where there's a lot of people who... think that milk is they're telling their kids, hey, drink your glass of milk.
It's a health food. And I would say, at school, right? Like, well, I had to sign a piece of paper that said my kid could have something other than milk.
Wow.
Which equaled water, because it was either juice or water. And chocolate milk is as milky as milk. It's a health food. And that is the thing.
Well, don't they say, let's not talk about schools, because they have pizza labeled as a vegetable.
So is ketchup. So are french fries. It's a problem. Are we going to end on a low note like that?
Eat happy.
Happy animals.
Healthy animals.
Well, friends, thanks for joining me on this journey as we look to supporting and advocating for your body, the vehicle that all of our drive comes from. In regards to Dr. Randy James, my dear friend, you can always find him at truelifemedicine.com. It's great to connect with so many of you who do. You fly in from around the country or work with him via the phone sometimes. And it is great, though, if you come out here and I get to see you. If that happens, let me know and grab a cup of coffee or talk in the foyer, if nothing else. Find him at truelifemedicine.com. Hey, until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride. Thanks so much for joining me on this journey. I look forward to meeting you in the Drive Tribe community for ongoing discussions about each episode. You can subscribe to the Drive Drop newsletter for weekly updates. Find it all at kevinmiller.co, along with all our social media and video clips. Until next time, I hope this episode helps you drive further and enjoy the ride.